Lord God, we are blessed to be your people both now and forever. And that victory, Father, the world may not see it until Christ returns, but we are assured of it. We are on the winning side. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just minister to our hearts and help us truly to live as your people, dependent upon your Spirit, Father, to work in and through us, to be not only a blessing to you, but to be a blessing to others. Lord, we come before you now for you to speak to us through your word, to our hearts, that we might be your people in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation on whom we shine as lights in the world. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. When I was a kid, we had a couple of things about that we did that. How do you determine if this girl really likes you? Oh, and if you're a girl, of course, if this guy really likes you. So we had a foolproof way of determining whether somebody loved us or not. You guys know where I'm going with this, right? So it was the Daisy method. And, you know, we'd say, oh, hey, man, John, I don't know if this girl likes me or not. And I don't know, you know. And he says, use the Daisy. And so it was. She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. You know how it goes. How many have done that before? Okay, good. I was getting worried. I thought, man, maybe I was the only one. But as you notice, that's the title of the sermon this morning. She loves me. No, not she. He loves me. He loves me not. And, you know, the Bible talks about every area of our life. It really does. And one of the things it really zeroes in on is our love for God and our love for each other. And so this morning, we're going to consider three situations where they spoke love, but they didn't show it. I hope that's not the case with any of you. Or three cases where they spoke love and showed it. And you'll notice that the verses that we have down here, put my spectacles on here, one from the book of Romans and one from the book of 1 John. And here's what it says. Let love be genuine. Which means that there is a insincere, a false, a feigned love. So my friends, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. There it is. That's what we are to do towards each other. But let's keep on going. The next verse there. This comes from 1 John. You know, it's one thing to say that we love somebody. It's another thing to really prove it by what we do. And so John reminds us, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. So if you truly love someone, let's show it. Let's demonstrate it. Let our works shout that we have that love for one another. And let's get away from using the word love to manipulate and to control a situation. So in church, we are to have true love, right, David? Have true love. Well, how do you define true love? Based upon these verses, I would say this. True love, first of all, let it be genuine. That is to say, yes, there is a phony love. There is an insincere, a feigned love. How do you have that sincere, that true, that genuine love? My friends, it's the fruit of the Spirit. And let love be put in your heart by the God who created you. So, let your love be genuine. Good deeds rather than words. Love should be demonstrated, should be shown out of our life by the works and the actions that we do. Amen? If it's in there, let's demonstrate, let's show it to others by the actions and the deeds that we do for one another. Number three, let it be a family-like affection. You know, I thought about this point, and that's what it basically says. Let it be a brotherly affection, but it is a family-like affection. You know how I start each service here? Welcome, family. I'm glad you're here. If you don't have a family, we invite you to be part of ours. And we should be a family, and we should show love towards one another as members of a divine family. Christ is our, he is our Lord. And he wants us to love one another as he has loved us. And so I know some people, I might even put ourselves on this list. Some people come from families that are torn apart. Some people come from families that don't show that kind of love. And so what do you mean we're supposed to have this family love towards one another? Let me just say this. Think about what the best possible solution could be in a family and the love that they should show towards one another and the encouragement and the safety and the protection and all that. And let that be the kind of love that you share with other people. So let it be a family type love, and then you be the initiator. You know, I've actually heard people say sometimes, well, how could I be loving? They're not loving towards me. Is that what the scripture teaches? You are to love those that love you. In fact, Jesus commented about this. He says, man, even the Pharisees do that. But we are to love even those that don't love us. That's a hard call. How is that possible? God will give you the strength and the ability to have that kind of love in your heart. So, my friends, let love be without hypocrisy. Let it be deeds, not only words. Let it be a family-like affection, and then you be the initiator. We love him because he first loved us, and he's called us to show that same love towards other people. You know, believers need to recognize the difference between genuine love, that is, he loves me, and feigned love, he loves me not. And so if you have your outlines, I hope I haven't totally confused you with them. There's a lot of blanks in that this morning. You've already got most of the first points there. Have that kind of love and recognize the difference between feigned love and genuine love. And feigned love, let's start with that one first. He loves me not. You need to go no further than the person of Judas Iscariot. Oh, yeah, we know who that is. I mean, that is the person that betrayed the Savior. But think about it. Judas was given an honorable position. He was given the position of being the treasurer. He kept all the money for the people. I was going to say he was the Tony Gill, but don't be offended by that, Tony. Because Judas had a very respected position. And when they got time to have the Last Supper, who did receive the honor of Jesus dipping and giving the bread to? That was an honorable act. It was Judas. And when Jesus said, go out and do what you're going to do quickly, all the disciples who knew Judas thought, he's going out to get something else. He's just that kind of guy. And so they really thought high of Judas. But Judas betrayed the Savior with a kiss. And he showed that his love was no more deeper than surface. He had a selfish love. He followed the Savior because the Savior was really happening. And many things were, lives are being changed. And he was right there to rake in the dough. And it was greed that corrupted his heart and caused him to betray the Savior. He loves me not. Second on the list, you're familiar with this guy. Samson and his barber, Delilah. I say that because that was the first haircut that Samson had. He didn't know any other barber. But Samson had some real problems, didn't he? In fact, I hope that you bring your Bible to church because every once in a while we look into it. And we're going to do that this morning. In fact, in the book of Judges, you'll find the story of Samson, Judges 13 all the way through 16. I want to start in chapter 14. And specifically, verse 4. And here's what it says. His father and mother... Excuse me, that's not the right place. Yes, it is. I got the wrong reference down. Okay, let's start back in verse 1. Samson went down to Timnah, and at Timnah he saw one of the daughters of the Philistines. First of all, he was not supposed to be messing around with the daughters of the Philistines. That was completely forbidden in the Old Testament. You don't mess with the daughters of the Philistines. Also, there was a bunch of other ones too. But he wasn't even supposed to be there. And then he came up and told his father and mother, this is what I was looking for. I saw one of the daughters of the Philistines at Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife. And I like what the New American Standard says. Because she looks good to me. And I don't know if his tongue was hanging out at that time or what it was, or just wide-eyed. But anyway, he was basing his love upon how this gal looked. And Samson had a real problem with that. You're going to see it happen into his life at least three times in the book of 2 Samuel, in the book of Judges. And he was always chasing after these love interests based upon how they looked. And I'm not exactly sure how Delilah looked, but we're going to talk a little bit about her. But imagine how Samson must have looked. He had never had a haircut. And he was probably in his mid-20s. I'm guessing maybe he's as old as 30. But can you imagine if you never cut your hair? Brent, can you imagine this? I'm never going to cut my hair. And you're not tall enough to get that hair all the way. What would you do? You know, maybe put, I've seen some ladies put it up in a bun. Can you imagine what bun Samson? He probably looked really tall. But in the junior high, we used to call them hair hats. But anyway, he had really long hair. And to add to that long hair was a very scruffy beard. He never shaved his beard. And imagine what it must have been to Delilah. I got to marry this, or I got to get interested in this guy. Well, you can pick up the story again. We're going to go to this time to the book of Judges. Old Testament. After Joshua, next book is Judges. It's before Ruth in 1 Samuel. And in Judges 13 and 16, we have the story of Samson and Delilah and their insincere, their feigned love. They did not have the genuine love. They did not have the real thing. And Samson was basing it upon the gal's looks. And you know, I've always heard that most women want to look pretty rather than be smart, because more guys can see than think. So anyway, Samson had Delilah interested in him, but for all the wrong reasons. We're familiar with that song, "I Look for Love in All the Wrong Places." That was certainly true of Samson. And he based his love upon appearance. And then it says that Delilah was interested in him because they went down and talked to the woman. She was right in Samson's eyes. There's his appearance again. After some days, he returned to take her, and he turned aside, and I'm in the wrong chapter. Maybe we shouldn't bring your Bibles. The pastor doesn't seem to be able to find the right place. All right, it's the 16th chapter, not the 14th chapter. And here it is in verse number 5. The lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, "Seduce him and see where his great strength lies, and by what means we may overpower him and bind him to humble him. And we will give you each 1,100 pieces of silver." Man. So one of those silvers was a day's wage. I'm not going to do the math right now, but you know that's going to be a lot of money. And Delilah was greatly tempted. Her greed got a hold of her. And so here she's with this very hairy guy, and they're supposed to have this love relationship. And I'm sure Delilah used that L word. "Oh, Samson, I just love you. I just love your hair. I just love your beard. It's just so great. It's all over me." I don't know what she said. But yeah, okay, I don't mean to gross you out, but sometimes it just happens naturally. So they had this love relationship, and whether Delilah really loved him or not, we don't know for sure, but Samson loved her. In fact, that's what it says in verses 4 and 5. Excuse me. Let's go towards the end of the chapter. In verse 15, she said to him, "How can you say I love you when your heart is not with me?" Can you imagine that? She just has all kinds of evil things planned for him, and she calls him on his love. "You don't have the true love. You haven't even told me how I can bind you and have the Philistines overcome you." Four times she says that. And Samson holds out. Finally, the fourth time, he gives in. And he tells her, he says, "Man, if you cut my hair, I'll be as weak as anybody else." So she cuts his hair, and says, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. They were. And Samson, the terrible thing about this story, Samson may have had a type of love. I think it was a physical love. You know, we talk about different kinds of love in the Bible. There's the agape love, which is the kind of love that we're supposed to have. I love you based upon my will. I simply will commit myself to do the things that are good and helpful to you. That's agape love. Then there's the friendship love, the phileo love, the city of Philadelphia, brotherly love. And then there's another love called eros. That one is not in the Bible, so hold on to that one. There is another one, though, called starge. That one's in the Bible. And that one is a family love, a love that you naturally have for members of your family. But that's the eros love that Samson seems to have and Delilah at best had. I don't know if she had the hots for Samson. I don't know. But Samson had the hots for her. And he was willing to let her bind him so the Philistines could gouge out his eyes. That was a pretty temporal love, and that's what I would call an insincere love. Well, let's go on. One more situation. This one's in 2 Samuel 13. 2 Samuel 13, and this is a love relationship between Amnon, and get this, his half-sister, Tamar. And what it says is, you can pick it up in chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. Now Absalom, David's son, had a beautiful sister. Oh, I wonder what got Amnon's attention again. Same problem. Oh, man, she looks good to me. I got to have this gal. You know, a lot of times it's the ones that look the best that aren't the best for you, right? And Amnon hadn't learned that lesson. Neither did Samson. They had what I would call feigned love. It was based upon their guttural feelings rather on the things that really love should be based upon. And it says that David's son loved her. Amnon was so tormented that he made himself ill because of his sister Tamar. You see what's going on here? And guess what? It's cousin Jonadab that comes along and says, man, if you want her, you've got a scheme. You've got to put together a plan. And what is his plan? If you continue reading in 2 Samuel 14, it was, I'm going to feign sickness, and you ask my sister Tamar to come cook something for me and bring it to me privately. Put everybody else out of the room, just Tamar and me. And as you know the story goes, he defiled his sister. He didn't honor her. He didn't appreciate her. In fact, after he compromised her integrity, he casts her out of the room and locks the door. My friends, the Bible talks about this kind of feigned love, inappropriate love, ungodly love. But guess what? It also talks about a type of godly love. And that's where we want to turn our attention at this time. We've seen three examples of ungenuine love. Is that a word? Ungenuine? Feigned love. How about three examples of true love? Number one on the list is the prodigal father. And I said that wrong. The father wasn't prodigal. It was the son. You know what the word prodigal means? It means to be wasteful. The father wasn't wasteful, really. Although he did divide his inheritance up with his two sons. But it was a son that went off and said, Dad, don't talk to me anymore about how I'm supposed to live. I know how I want to live. And he ran off in a state of rebellion, lived in a foreign city, and he spent his whole inheritance. How fun he must have been around when he had a lot of money. And then the money ran out, and guess what? His friends did as well. And he gets a job feeding pigs. A Jewish boy feeding pigs is not something that is ever supposed to happen. And it says that he desired food, even the food that the pigs were eating. He would munch on that a little bit until he came to his senses. And he said, even my father's servants are treated better than this. I am going to go home and tell Father, I'm unworthy to be called your son. Have you ever said this to God? Father, I am unworthy to be your son. I have done things that are not right. I have wasted the things that you have given me. Make me one of your hired servants. Well, the father is watching out for the son, isn't he? It says that every day he went and he looked out across the plain. He knew the direction his son had taken off. And so every day he would go there and look out. And he would see, at one time he saw the son returning. Now the father didn't say, oh, I knew it was going to happen that way. I knew you were going to give out eventually. Do we ever do that with our kids? You know, kind of say, well, you know, you should have listened to me to begin with. But the father didn't do that. In fact, he got downright excited, and he ran to the son. I love that song that says that. And the father ran to respond to each one of us. He wants to come to us in his fullness, in his mercy, in his grace. To the son, he says, put a ring back, shoes on his feet. He lost all of that. Come on in. We're going to celebrate. And this true love that we are to have for one another involves these kind of things, my friends. We are to be God's representative to each one and let his grace and his mercy work through our lives. And you know, one thing I think our church does quite well, I'm just going to look over here. I don't ever get to eat any of this stuff, but it looks pretty good. You guys are in for a treat after the service, right? And our church does really well at this. They want to minister to each other. And it's the kind of love that we want to have towards one another. So here's the father that's been mistreated, been abused, and the son comes home, and he says, let's celebrate. My friends, I heard that. My friends, let's celebrate, okay? Let's have the kind of love that can appreciate one another. Let's have the kind of love that can celebrate for what the Lord has done. And even though maybe some bad things have happened, let's move forward with God. Love number one. That's devoted love. There's another love that's mentioned by two characters. One of them you're very familiar with. It's King David and his best friend, Jonathan. Do you have a best friend? I've heard people say that the greatest gift that you can have is the gift of friendship. And David certainly had that with Jonathan, didn't he? And Jonathan loved David as he loved his own self. And you can read about that. It's right there in the scripture. in 1 Samuel 18, verse 1, where David loved Jonathan as he loved his own soul. That was the kind of love that they had. And it was a friendship love, but it was a friendship love based upon genuine love, where he cared for those who cared for him. And Jonathan demonstrated himself that he was fully committed. In fact, when it came time for him to stand up to his own father, he tried to defend David because his father wanted to kill David. And at one point, his own father took a spear and threw it at him to pin him to the wall. That's the degree that Jonathan was willing to go for his love for David. He also counted upon, in a couple places there in 2 Samuel, you can see that they loved each other because they recognized that they had a love based upon a relationship with God. And my friends, that's where it all begins. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The love that you can have that's genuine, it begins with God. And Jonathan had that kind of love. He valued others, and he loved others as he loved himself. What did Jesus teach? Wasn't it something similar to that? Remember when he was asked, Lord, what's the greatest commandment? And his response, you'll love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Okay, let it begin there. He says, but the second is like the first. You'll love your neighbor as yourself. That's exactly what Jonathan said. David, I love you as I love my own life. That's a challenge for each of us, to have that kind of friendship love, along with the devoted love as the father of the prodigal son. How about one other love? The love of the good Samaritan. All right, where is Nathan? I know he preached on this not too long ago. There he is. He's hiding. I can't see him. I see him now. And he preached about the Good Samaritan. So we're not going to spend a lot of time with that. But I will say the Good Samaritan had a responsive love. He said, I see a need and I want to meet it. And it wasn't just for his friend, or it wasn't for somebody that that he had had a relationship with in the past. It was a complete stranger that the Good Samaritan wanted to show love. Let's go deeper than that. Because the people that should have shown love to this person who had been beat up and abused and robbed and left for dead, it should have been the priest coming out of the temple. It wasn't him. It could have been the Levite that also came from Jerusalem. It wasn't him. The Jewish people hated the Samaritans. They hated them so much, they wouldn't even go to their property. And yet here we find the Good Samaritan coming to this man who had been beat up. That would be the least that you would expect. And he was there because of his sincere, great, responsive love. My friends, if a Good Samaritan can do that to a Jew, I know that Jewish people are really unpopular at this day and age, but let us be the kind of people that can show love to every single person. You say, well, how about Hamas? Yeah, if you meet a Hamas person, don't go along with them, but you still have to love them. Okay, so we have a love for everyone. And this Samaritan had a special love, had a responsive love to this person in need. So what does he do? He gathers him up, treats him with wine and oil, not for drinking, takes care of the wounds, puts him on his own donkey, runs him to the local hotel, Hyatt Regency, I think it was. He takes him off his donkey, takes him in and says, man, this guy is really in bad shape. He says, I'm going to give you 2 pieces of silver now, and you be sure you take care of him. 2 days' wages. Take care of him. And when I return, if he has a bigger bill than that, I will pay it. How many have ever done that? I got to admit, I haven't exactly done that. You know, but let me say this. The Lord wants you to have that kind of love. You know somebody in need? You know that somebody has a situation that you can help? Find the need and fill it. He did that based upon his compassion. He felt it deeply. The word in the original language is from the word guts. And it says that the Good Samaritan felt this thing deeply within him. How do you have that kind of love for this Jewish person? I think it was of God. It was only of God. In addition to that, he said he ministered to him out of mercy. Mercy is basically giving you what you don't deserve. We all need that, don't we? We all need God's mercy based upon his compassion for us, his great deep feeling that he loves us enough to go to the cross for us, and he wants us to have that same kind of love for others. On your papers, you might see the word Matthew 5, verses 43 and 48. Basically, what that passage talks about, he says, you're to love your enemies. You're to pray for those that misuse you. You're to be kind to those that are kind to you. And then the verse 48 ends up in this way. Be perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. That's our calling. We are to have that kind of love. We are to have that devoted love. We are to have that mutual love. We are to have that responsive love. And when we do that, God is glorified. I want to go back to the very beginning again. Because what we began with was let love be genuine. Not phony, not insincere, not feigned. Let God put a love in your heart. And then let there be good deeds that come from your life. Concentrate on that, my friends. How can I minister to somebody else? Not just how can I be ministered to. Have a family-like affection. We're a family. Make sure that you are a brother or sister in that family, okay? And then be an initiator. Be the one that reaches out and gets things started. If you do that, God will be glorified. If you say, well, I don't know if I can do that or not, then you need to go before the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, I need to be born again. I need for your love to come into my heart and life. Come in and change me and make me the kind of person you want me to be. May God help us in this congregation to have that unfeigned, that genuine love for one another. And may we be known as the friendliest church in South Whidbey. All right? Father, I want to thank you for your word that guides us, that encourages us, that shows us how we can be different and how we should be different. And Lord, we humbly come before you because we understand that it does not come naturally. And so we come before you asking you to change us and make us the kind of people you want us to be. Lord Jesus, may you rule and reign in our heart. I pray in your name.